You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. Today we get to chat with Chaplain Craig Mueller, director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, about resources to aid your congregation in giving thanks to God for those who serve to protect our country. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining me in studio today, Chaplain Craig Mueller, director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Well, thank you, Sarah. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you in studio. We get to talk about Armed Forces today and the upcoming Armed Forces Sunday, giving some people some lead time to make some preparations and plans, which is fantastic. Before we talk about that, though, talk about the work of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. What is it that you guys get to do every day?
Well, thank you, Sarah. Yeah, it's just a joy and a privilege. Basically, I sum it up to our people as we do everything military connected. So we are there to take care of your sons or daughters who are joining the military and at boot camp or through the officer candidate school or whatever role they play. So our job is just to keep in touch with them, bring the ministry of the gospel to them and the word and sacrament ministry. And also what I do is recruit pastors then to be chaplains. So that's really a critical thing because we have to have pastors in uniform to take care of these young men and women who selflessly serve our nations. Basically, anything military connected, that's what we do. We take care of veterans, active duty, reserve, guard, anything that anyone who has worn the uniform or is related or connected to somebody who has. So,
how many chaplains serve right now with Ministry of the Armed Forces?
Right now, a good time to ask me because I actually know the exact number.
I was wondering if I know that
yeah,
wasn't in our notes.
Yeah, because you're doing our reports. So we have 51 active duty chaplains right now, and that number fluctuates because some are retiring and some are going through chaplain school, but right now that's what we have. And we have 65 who are reserve, guard, civil air patrol, so any other capacity that's not full-time. And then we also have the VA chaplains now, so we have a couple of those who are serving in the hospitals as chaplains for our veterans. And then we also have two directors of religious education who are actually rostered DCE, Districts of Christian Education. So we have two of those too. So that's the Missouri Senate numbers to bring the gospel to the men and women who serve our nation.
That's fantastic. So how do all of those LCMS chaplains support service personnel and their families? You mentioned a couple different areas too.
Sure. For the active duty, it really is wherever their chaplain is assigned because they're military officers as well. So they also receive orders to a particular base, station, or installation, or unit. So when they show up, their job is to basically do a call for Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod folks, if there are any in their area, if they're at a base, and try to do a Lutheran service to gather all of them. But once again, with that part, I'd like to point out that what we do, too, is we want to get the service member connected to a church, an LCMS local congregation inside or outside the gate. So our chaplains also may not just do the service, but if there's a nice church out in town, so shout out to you who are by military bases, station installations, contact my office. We need your help into ensuring that we can get these young men and women to your church, to get them plugged in to a loving congregation where they can go to get off base, because they'll see their chaplains enough when they deploy or if they can't get off the base. But we really want to get them connected to a LCMS congregation that's nearby them. So a lot of chaplains will just work that, coordinate that, help and assist in that. But then they also do provide for their unit pastoral care, counseling, and whatever else is called upon them to take care of their people.
What does that look like for an active duty chaplain who gets deployed? Because they also get deployed with units.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you're with your flock 24/7. And the saying that, I can't remember which church father said, I think Chaplain Todd, chaplain of the Navy, chief of chaplains, said in one of the sermons that we stink like our flock. So we're literally a shepherd who stink like them because we really do live with them 24/7, wherever they are, whether it's on a ship or a unit in the desert or out in some kind of exercise in the jungle, it doesn't matter. Their chaplain goes with them. So really what they do is it's a ministry of presence. You're with them all the time. And so those relationships develop because mostly when you go to, again, it's the world's largest young adult group, right?
Yeah.
Most of the people we deal with are 18 to 25-year-olds. So there's a lot going on in their lives. So the chaplain is critical in being available to them and to have that trust and authenticity that this is our chaplain. Whatever issue is going on, we could talk to him. So a lot of that is just being present with them. And then, of course, God opens doors. It's just amazing how many doors he can open when they realize they have that chaplain there that they can talk to and walk through life's challenges and issues. You know, maybe something is for, you know, for a young kid that lost their grandpa or grandma while they were deployed, and, you know, it's just the first time they've lost someone in their family, and it just hurts. So the chaplain's a guy they can talk to, or whatever the situation is.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the chaplains on base have services or point to local congregations. What does that look like when the chaplains are serving with a unit not on a base? What do those divine services look like when there is no building maybe to have a divine service?
Sure, no, that's a good point. Because, yeah, we do services wherever two or three are gathered. Right. Maybe on the back of a Humvee, some tent somewhere, maybe on a ship in the forecastle. If the ship is big enough, they may actually have a small chapel. Mm-hmm. But wherever we can gather it together, and then we just pass the word among the troops and say, hey, chaplain's having divine services over here at whatever time. And, of course, operations take precedence. So if there are times, it could be any time, any place. So you just got to be prepared. So it's kind of exciting. It's kind of like, a camping trip, or especially you're thinking if you're out in the woods or trees, it's important that the chaplain knows that they can always still set aside time and pass the word that, hey, we're having a Bible study, we're having divine services, and pass the word. So, and they appreciate it. I mean, it's usually well attended out in the field, mostly because where else are you going to go? Right? You have a captive audience. And again, it's all about relationship building with your troops. So if they know who the chaplain is, hey, well, I want to hear what chaplain says. I'm not Lutheran, but I know what that guy, I want to hear what he has to say about this. And so it kind of brings them out.
Sure. Now, you mentioned that chaplains are officers. What is the training the chaplains go through in order to serve well in those positions as chaplains?
Great question, because for the way it's set up is the military will not do any theology training, obviously. Right. Church religious organizations send qualified candidates to the military. So our Missouri Synod pastors have to finish seminary, have an MDiv, and we even require some parish experience. So they are pastors formed when they go to the military. And then when they get to the military, the chaplain school basically just teaches them how to wear the uniform, how to be a military officer. Here are some of the rules and regulations. And then you start learning that institution, how to work within that. So that's mostly what they do. They don't teach you. You already come, sort of like doctors, lawyers, you already come with your professional skill set. Mm-hmm. Now they're just going to teach you, how do you work in this environment in the military? It's important to come with your pastoral formation, but then be able to work in an institution.
What does that mean for the men and women in our military to have somebody who is trained to be in the military, but also has that theological training to walk alongside them?
I think it's so important, because sometimes we get the misunderstanding that when a young man or woman, you know, says, hey, I want to join the military, they go off to boot camp. That's one thing they don't leave at home when they come, is their faith or their religious liberty. So when they go to boot camp, whatever service branch it is, that's not something that they have to hang up. There are chaplains there. They have divine services even at boot camp, wherever they start. So it's important for them to know that they can loyally and honorably serve in the vocation of a military personnel without giving up their faith, and then there's opportunity to worship. It could be challenging, because chaplains are like a box of chocolates. When you show up at a base, there may not be a Lutheran Church, Missouri. You heard my numbers. They're not very big. So the odds are you're not going to have a Missouri Synod chaplain. So the key I tell our young men and women is to dare to be Lutheran. Tell your chaplain, hey, I'm a Lutheran, and I would like to find a Lutheran church. And other faith groups are supposed to facilitate that, to get you to accommodate your religious beliefs. So to make sure our young men and women know that when they get to boot camp, that you have your rights to exercise your religion, to worship and practice it. So that's really good.
Yeah. From your experiences, how have you seen chaplains really play a role for the men and women in military? And even your own stories of serving with the military.
Yeah, thanks for that. It's really is, as I mentioned before, it's really a personal relationship that you develop with your troops. Obviously, they go through some difficult times. With that, again, it's been 10 years, well, actually 12 years now, since I've been in. I'm getting old. But my fondest memories are just those deployments, even though it's hard because you're away from your family too. But you have that opportunity to just spend time with them and walk through their difficult challenges in life, and their, especially if it's with combat or a loss, because it's a very dangerous duty. So a lot of them have life risks, even just training, doing their day-to-day job, flying these jets, these planes, these whatever it is, it's very dangerous. So accidents do happen, loss of life does occur. And so walking alongside them as they mourn the loss of a comrade, especially when they're 18, you don't think about that, right? You think you're invincible, especially if you're in the military. And I think one of the first things I think appreciate when you line them up to deploy, one of the things they have to do is do a will or fill out where their life insurance goes. Young kid, well, you have to, why do I do that? I'm only 18. It's like, well, this is reality. You're going to a dangerous place. Anything happens. So the government needs to know, if you get killed, who do you want to go to? It's important. You know, a lot of 18-year-olds don't think about that, right? Yeah. So that's when that conversation begins to start. It's like, oh, wait a second. Okay. And so then there were many times I had some coffee conversations with folks about that, of what does it mean, you know, life, death. And it's like, some of them probably haven't seen death at 18. Some have, depending on where they come from or what experiences they have. But it's really just all about the relationships and bringing them to Jesus.
Absolutely. And we have more to talk about with Ministry to the Armed Forces and Armed Forces Sunday with Chaplain Craig Mueller right after a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's 6 church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. I'm talking with Chaplain Craig Mueller, director of the LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, about how chaplains serve our men and women in our military and the upcoming Armed Forces Sunday, which is happening in May. We're giving people some lead time here so that they can make preparations. Chaplain, tell us about Armed Forces Sunday, the history of this. What is Armed Forces Sunday?
Sure. Excuse me. We circle that around Armed Forces Day, which is usually the third weekend of May. Mm-hmm. And so we try to put Armed Forces Sunday around that. Basically, it's just a Sunday that a congregation will set aside to remember those who have served in their congregation, maybe some who've lost their lives. Some congregations have tributes throughout their grounds or whatever, those who have served, prayers during the service, intentional to think about those who are forward deployed, those who are away from their families, those who are serving our nation, give thanks to God for that honorable vocation. So really, it is just remembering that this is an honorable calling, that there are people now serving, but also don't forget those in your congregation who are veterans. We want to emphasize that too. There's a lot of people in our congregations who served their time, got out, but it's nice to remind them and thank them for their service, you know, in the past, whether it was from, you know, the Vietnam era to the Cold War to whatever the part or era they served, to thank them for their service. Because there are a lot of times people forget about, you know, they just packed up everything and went, did their duty and came back, and they don't talk about it. But just to remind them that it was an honorable vocation, we thank God for them and the protections that they've given, and then those that continue to do it today.
Do you have stories or ideas that you've seen from congregations of places that have done this well, or prayers, ideas for congregations to think about as they plan to thank their military servicemen and women?
Oh, absolutely. The project we call that is Operation Barnabas, which was started in 2007 in Synodical Convention, which basically is the emphasis of empowering, encouraging, equipping congregations to intentionally look into their own congregation for veterans that may be having a difficult time, or those outside, even an outreach. So to answer your question, I think a lot of it, it's all grassroots. We let the congregations, wherever they are, they're all different. They have different areas. Some live in big areas where there's a lot of veterans. So maybe they have a veterans hospital or they have a VA home or something. So then the congregation intentionally reaches out to them, does visitations, brings them some Bible study materials. I mean, the sky's the limit. In some, it's just maybe they're more rural. They don't have a lot there, but they have members that are. I always like to joke around, so you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a veteran. Even if you're in a rural church. I grew up in a rural church. My dad was a rural church pastor, but there were always veterans there. And to just take time to thank them for their service. And so congregations just doing that, being intentional about it, is huge. And some do a lot of different things. One particular think of it was up in the Northwest, who actually interviewed every veteran in their congregation, put together a booklet, you know, with their picture when they're in the uniform. And just the history, and I think a lot of people were just amazed. That was a lot of work, so not everybody has to do that. But it just was so rewarding because everybody thought, oh, wow, I didn't know you served, or I didn't know they served. I didn't know your dad did that. It's just kind of storytelling and reminding them that, again, why that most of them join is because others before self. It fits with our theology, right, of, you know, it's love your neighbor, serve your neighbor, and this is one of those vocations that you can do in it. So congregations, anything they want to do to just intentionally call out, think, pray, remember those veterans in their midst or in their communities.
What does that mean for veterans to be recognized in that way in the context of the congregation? And you shared some really touching things that congregations have done. What does that mean for those veterans who are able to be recognized in that way?
I think it varies because we're all different personally. Some are, you know, some are embarrassed. It's like, oh, I just did my duty, you know, or I don't want to talk about it. But I think at the end of the day, it's just good to be acknowledged. We all know that. I mean, if somebody, you know, maybe you don't want all the accolades, you know, you don't want to stand up even in front of the congregation, or if they all say, hey, all veterans, please stand, or whatever. Some will do it, but I guess it's hard to say how each one does it, but I think at the end of the day, they all appreciate it because, you know, it was a time of their life that they served their nation, and just to, whether it was, you know, 2 years or 30 years, to just recognize them that this is an honorable vocation. Because I think that gets, especially today's society about government and state, what can you, can't you do? And I think to remind them that, as Luther wrote many years ago, soldiers too can be saved. You know, it's an honorable vocation. You answer the call and you're taking care of your neighbor.
Tell us more about Operation Barnabas, what this program does and what it allows congregations to do.
Sure. As I mentioned, it was started in 2007, and it was kind of a response to the War on Terror when there were a lot of reserve members being activated, chaplains included. So some congregations, pastors just had to go to deploy for 12 months. So they were vacant. And then some of their members went. It was really heavy on the reserve and guard that were being mobilized. So our church has kind of said, what do we do to focus on this? And so this project came up named Operation Barnabas, because Barnabas is name means son of encouragement. So it was a brilliant name, actually, that when they thought of it, because this is what we do. We're encouragers for those who are deployed, for those who are at home, the family members. So that's where it came from. Operation, you know, Barnabas in the Bible is kind of that peacemaker who's helping Silas and Paul. And it's kind of like he's a quiet guy, but doing a lot of work for the Lord. So that's kind of what we do. So for us in this, I guess the best way to put Operation Barnabas, it's a network of care. So there's no reporting, there's no assignments from the LCMS. It's all congregation-based, but we do put out a quarterly newsletter called The Warning Order, where we share best practices, we share photos or what other congregations are doing to maybe give another congregation an idea. Hey, I never thought about that. That would be a great thing to do. We could do that at our church, or I'll just share some stories. And the other thing we do in our warning order is we do remember those who were killed, because it's not on the news anymore, but we still lose service members, whether, again, it's a training accident or maybe it wasn't an operation. We put their picture in there, a little bit where they're from. And so they can remember them and their families in prayers. And it's surprising because, you know, they all come from somewhere. So even though they were killed, they might have been from some small town in Minnesota that was like right next door. It's like, oh, I didn't realize it. So it's another way to reach out in a community to help and support a neighbor. So that's kind of what the warning order does. It's just, again, a network of care. It's not taskings, as we would say in the military. It's not, there's no reports. We, of course, we encourage photos and sharing because we don't know. I know a lot of our congregations, when I just go out to preach for a Sunday, are doing great things, but we need to share that with others. We need to say, hey, this is Operation Barnabas. This is what it looks like. In fact, I just ran into a guy yesterday who was here in the building. They've started a veterans getting together just to talk. I said, you're doing Operation Barnabas. Why aren't you part of us? You know, sign up. We can share this with other people, because you just go meet once a month for coffee, all the congregation. So it's a circuit veterans meeting. They come and talk. I said, what a great idea. That's all it is. It's just another way to support those who served our nation. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
How do congregations start this then? It sounds very simple.
It is very simple. Like I said, many of you who are listening are probably already doing it. Uh-huh. So I think the best thing to do is just email us at lcmschaps@lcms.org. And Alicia Lee Hinton, who's my admin, she runs Operation Barnabas. She will get you connected, get you resources. We're here to help you. We do provide training if someone's really interested. Steve or I or Lee will go out to the congregation and say, hey, here's what other people are doing. Here are some ideas. This is how you can get it kickstarted. What are some things? But basically, it's just contacting her and signing up and saying, hey, we'd like to try this and just sign up for the newsletter, first of all.
Yeah.
And then from there, we can go and say, how big do you want it or how small do you want it? Again, there's no evaluations. There's no reporting. But it's hard. It's like any volunteer program. It can't be a pastor program. It really has to be members who see a passion for doing this. You know, how do we support the military-connected people?
Yeah. What other resources does Ministry of the Armed Forces have for congregations?
Well, we have the Armed Forces devotional book, which, mm-hmm. by the way, I'm excited to say we got one coming out with CPH. Hopefully this fall, which is a much more robust, wonderful resource. We're excited about it. More to come.
Yeah.
Keep your ears posted once we get it all done. But we do that because it's all written by chaplains or veterans, so it's focused on that kind of a ministry. Of course, our first responders love it too because it's all that kind of stuff with Bible verses, messages, hymns, divine services. It's just a nice book. I would say it's not quite as robust as the Pastoral Care Companion for those pastors out there that use it, but it's got to have a lot of resources. So we are your resourcing. And then there are other books that we have that we can get you. Anything we can get, if we don't have it, we'll get it for you. So we're here to be your one-stop shop. And Leah even has a little sheet that has all the stuff that we have. So she could send that to you and you can go shopping. Say, hey, yeah, we want 10 of those books or this kind of, we have topics on, you know, post-traumatic stress, depression, suicide. So any kind of topic you think veterans are facing, we can help. Mm-hmm. So that's what we are.
Fantastic. So if congregations are interested in doing something for Armed Forces Sunday, where do they reach out? Where do they find, you mentioned lots of resources. How do congregations kind of get the ball rolling to celebrate Armed Forces Sunday?
Again, I think the simplest is just email lcmschaps@lcms.org. And our whole staff has access to that email. That would be the quickest way. But of course, we're also on the LCMS website under /Armed Forces. So there'll be materials there. Mm. You just have to click a few more times to download. We have sermon helps for that. We also have inserts for the bulletin. We have some just summaries of what our chaplains do. And so that's on the website if you want to find that. But again, if you email us, we can give you a direct link to that part of it too. Just whatever's easiest for the congregation or person listening that wants to get involved, we're here to help.
So lots of resources available for Armed Absolutely. Forces Sunday. Got several weeks to start planning in your congregation. Chaplain, anything else you'd like us to know about Ministry to the Armed Forces?
I think again, thank you. This has been a ministry for the Missouri Senate since the Civil War. I mean, we've always, our people like you who are listening have always supported those who don the uniform of our nation. And I just say thank you to all of you who are listening and who have served yourself or maybe have kids or sons and daughters, grandkids serving, or have just even given to us financially to the Luther Church Missouri Senate to support this ministry. It's just so critical that we have these resources for those kids that, I say kids now, I'm an old guy, but those who are serving our nation, they wouldn't say they're kids. I mean, they're doing dangerous things, as I talked about earlier. So I think that's really the biggest thing is just thank you for all the support. And don't forget about us and Armed Forces Day, Veterans Day, all these other. And when you see a veteran, just again, they may be ashamed or not ashamed, I guess, shy or don't want the accolades, but say thank you anyway. But let them know that we do appreciate the fact that you did this because sometimes it could be a thankless job and appreciate them doing it.
Chaplain Craig Mueller, Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.